Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. What is the future of batteries? Well, we've got to try many different materials. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is December 28th, 2013. We're on day three of our energy article, Battle of the Batteries, which you can find on pages 38, 39, and 40 in your Advanced magazine. So I'm glad you are all with us today. And if you've been here the last couple of days, I congratulate you for finding your way through this very challenging article. There's a lot of big terms in here, scientific terms, and also challenging concepts to get all of this. So I know I appreciate it, and I know our panelists appreciate it, right?
That's right.
Yes, it's not an easy article, but it's actually quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's a very interesting article, and it's also a difficult one. But appreciate you being here. And that's Rebecca Krusniewski and Josh Mooney, my panelists. They're back for this final day. And Rebecca was even mentioning that preparing for this, she had to read it a couple of times, right?
Yes, I did. There's a lot of big terms, and especially scientific terms here.
And I know Josh has to spend a lot of time just researching things as far as digging up information, right?
I love to read and read online, and I did find some interesting articles and went to some websites I'd never been on looking at alternative energy.
Yeah, and it takes me a good bit of time also to prepare for this. So it's not like we just pick this up and just go whizzing right through it. I actually had to spend a good bit of time ahead of this recording on all 3 days to do research on the internet and explain what's going on with some of these companies, learn about the companies. And sometimes there's even words that we come up with. I'm like, what does that word mean? And I'm kind of familiar with it, but I'm not quite sure. And so again, I can congratulate you for being here with us for all 3 days of this. Before we move into today, let me get a thought from each one of our panelists from yesterday, our second day.
Well, we skipped over a word on line six, hybrid. And I know we've talked a lot about electric vehicles in this article, and we're going to do so again today. But more popular than electric vehicles are hybrid vehicles. And these have battery-powered engines so that most of the time you're driving using battery renewable energy. Mm-hmm. But it also has a gas engine. And the gas engine serves as like a backup in case you need it. And maybe you aren't at full charge or you forgot to power up the day before. The gas engine is there sort of as the fail-safe. And that's more popular, especially in America, because people are just nervous about running out of energy.
Yeah. And they're used to using their gasoline-powered vehicle. And so it's difficult moving people from one source of power to the other.
Yes.
And having them be comfortable.
Yeah. So all electric is a big jump, a big risk for people.
Okay. And there is also – there's a range of quality as far as even the manufacturers. Just like gasoline-powered cars, there's a range of quality in battery-powered cars depending on the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And so it's not automatic. You can't just assume that all the electric cars will be good, just like any other product that's out there. So that's why there's been some hesitancy by some of the consumers. All right, Rebecca, something from yesterday.
Yeah, basically my key takeaway or the key thing I remembered from yesterday were the two factors that will influence the battery development in the future. The first one is cost, and the second one was safety. We talked about the importance of safety in order for these batteries to become more mainstream.
Yeah, and those are obviously two big concerns. Cost, Josh did talk about cost yesterday of some of the electric vehicles. And they are not cheap.
No.
So we had actually done an article about the Tesla Model S last year, and I believe it was $50,000 or $60,000, right, Josh?
Exactly. Yeah. And the Fisker I mentioned yesterday, that was $100,000.
Well, that is a pricey car.
It's a pricey car. And then safety, we did talk about yesterday regarding some airplanes.
Yeah, we were talking about the batteries overheating on some of these newer lithium-ion batteries for the planes.
Yeah. And batteries overheat in everything, whether it's it's an airplane,
smartphone, or
phone,
a laptop,
computer. Right?
It's all possible.
Yeah, and so we do need to be aware of that, and just don't assume that you can use a device with a battery forever and that it's going to be okay. So you need to be careful. Turn the thing off. Sometimes, in fact, some technicians have advised me a good way to protect your computer is you might have to take the battery out. And while you are running it, while it is plugged in, take the battery out, then it helps reduce the heat within the computer. So you also might notice if you're sitting using a laptop at home or at work, if you have it plugged in and you're using it all day, it will actually get very warm.
Right.
Yeah. So be aware of that.
And so also, is your lap.
Yeah, so is your lap. Right, right. And it's amazing the difference. It'll depend on what you're running. Too. If you're watching a lot of videos or you're running a DVD or something in there, it will get hotter.
Right.
So a lot of it depends on how you are using that device and how it affects the battery. Okay, let's turn to page 40, and we will have our reading split up into two sections today. So let's have our first reading.
Why batteries? Batteries are getting particular attention because they're versatile. While pumped hydro facilities require lots of land and water, batteries can be used anywhere and are easily scalable, so they can help power not only a car, but also a factory. Alternatives in the works. IBM's Alan Scher is bullish on his company's new lithium air battery, which takes in oxygen from the air to form a chemical reaction that generates an electric charge. It's lighter and denser than the lithium-ion ones in most of today's electric vehicles. With 500 miles on a single charge, he says, you take the range anxiety out of the equation. The current Nissan Leaf gets up to 75 miles on a single charge, and the Mitsubishi iMiEV 62 miles. Scher expects a prototype to be developed next year, but its commercial availability will take at least 5 years. Toshiba has developed a rechargeable battery, the SKIB, that has a new oxide-based material that allows quicker charging times. Huge lithium-ion batteries, filling 53-foot shipping containers, are being used for grid-scale projects. Since September 2011, AES Storage has used them to store 64 megawatts of energy generated by windmills. That capacity, if it ran continuously, would be enough to power nearly 50,000 U.S. households for a year.
Yesterday, we ended our discussion regarding batteries. We were talking about grid-scale energy, and that's the type of power amounts that can actually power cities and regions. And there's this electric grid in the United States that is set up, and it serves cities and regions. It's worked pretty well for decades, but it's starting to get old, and they're starting to break down in certain places. So that's what we were talking about yesterday. And we get into the battery's role in providing power, not just for cars, but for homes, cities, regions, right, Josh?
That's right. They're getting attention, it says in line six, because they're versatile. And if you're versatile, it means you can do lots of different things, can fill lots of different roles. I think of a baseball player that can play many positions. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can play the outfield, catch, run well. We call him a versatile player.
Okay. Yeah. And then we see here about pumped hydro facilities.
Yeah, pump hydro facilities require lots of land and water, because in order to have hydro, you need water, and by the water, you need lots of land. But batteries can be used anywhere. You can take your device of your battery anywhere. So batteries are a better solution because they are scalable. And what is scalable, Josh?
Well, that means they can be used at varying different sizes, that you can take something and increase its usefulness by adding hardware or adding size to it.
Yeah. And then because of that, you can move this thing around, power the battery to power a car or a factory, home, a city block. There's all sorts of ranges as far as where we can go with this, as far as the size, the scalability of this. We have alternatives.
In the works. And when something is in the works, that means it's in development. Here at Studio Classroom, we are close to launching some really fun mobile apps. And
yes,
we have been hard at work on them, so we can say they are in the works.
Yes, and we had just launched one, the Hot Words app, here in the beginning of December. And it's a wonderful app that helps you learn all the vocab words here right in advance.
That's right.
So go on the Apple Store and you can take a look on about our Hot Words app.
Hot Words app.
Yes, and coming to Android, I forgot to mention, in January.
Yeah, okay. Now, the Hot Words aren't going to make our batteries hot, are they?
We hope not. It'll make your brain hot because you're using your brain, yes.
All right, good. Well, IBM's Alan Scher is bullish on his company's new lithium air battery. Bullish?
Bullish is a good term, meaning that you are very positive about something, that you're confident in the future success of it.
We often will say, you know, people are bullish on the market.
Yes.
Right? Now,
yes.
What's the opposite of being bullish?
It's bearish.
Yeah.
Bear. So we say there's bulls and bears. Bulls feel the stock market is going to go up, mm-hmm. and bears feel the stock market's going to go down.
Okay. Well, Alan Scher is excited about the IBM's new lithium air battery. So you can see a slightly different configuration then also of the materials that go into making the batteries. We talked about lithium ion batteries and many other magnesium, vanadium. So this is another version of a battery. The lithium air battery.
Yes, and the lithium air battery is lighter and denser than the lithium ion batteries that we're using now. So a huge benefit of the lithium air battery is you will be able to go further. You extend your range that you can go on for the cars.
Yeah. All right. Now, when we say denser, what do we mean?
It means there's more mass to it in a smaller area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they can pack more power into these lithium air batteries. Now, with 500 miles on a single charge, Alan Scher says,
well, you take the range anxiety out of the equation. And this is something we've been talking about quite a bit. The problem with all electric vehicles in the United States is that Americans are afraid that they're going to be driving out from San Francisco to Los Angeles and get stranded somewhere because they're not near a charging station. And the charges currently will allow you to drive about 200 miles on an overnight charge. And if we can get that up to 500 miles or more, then we won't be so nervous. It'll take away our anxiety.
Now, when Josh says 200 miles on a single charge, he is talking about, for instance, like the Tesla models, the Tesla Model S and their Tesla Roadster actually even had a little bit more as far as the mileage. That's okay. Not bad. They're probably the leaders in this when it comes to performance and quality when it comes to batteries. In this next sentence, we actually see some examples of that shows you how poor the range is with some of these battery or these electric cars.
Yeah, the current Nissan Leaf gets up to 75 miles on a single charge. So it can only go up to 75 miles, and then you'll have to recharge the car. And the Mitsubishi MIEV, only 62 miles. So the mileage is actually quite bad.
It's horrible.
Yes, these are for short distances. They are saying drive to the supermarket, come back and charge it, drive, you know, down the street, pick up your kids. This is not something you would take to Vegas.
And yeah, not just getting to Vegas from L.A., who around driving around L.A. going back and forth to work could use this?
Oh, they're using it. They're just going definitely short distances.
Yeah. So it's something that even for most big cities, for people commuting, you're going to be at the edge of whether or not this thing's going to get you home at the end of the day. Because a lot of people drive 25, 30 miles to work.
And that's exactly why you would have range and anxiety, as Josh had just talked about.
Yeah.
You would be really scared that you'd run out of battery before you get home.
Yeah. Alan Scheer of IBM expects a prototype to be developed next year. He's talking about a new prototype of the lithium air batteries that will improve these models. So a new model, the prototype, and that they hope to come out with. However, the commercial availability will take
5 years. So similar to the term we learned yesterday, commercialization, something that's going to market, this won't be available for quite a while.
Yeah. Now, these two cars, the Nissan and the Mitsubishi, they're very small cars. They're about the size of these little tiny smart cars. So there is a certain niche that they are looking to fill. As Josh was saying, these are the little things that run around short errands. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be going on a big road trip with these cars. So they do fit a certain niche, but they do want to increase the range on these things. Now, Toshiba, another company, they have developed a rechargeable battery.
Yes, they have. It's called the SCIB or SCIB, and it has a new oxide-based material, and that allows for quicker charging times.
Okay, again, now we have a new material that is going to be used in this battery. We've seen several materials here.
And this is another concern that electric car owners have, is they want it to charge faster because they want to get on the road. The Tesla website talks about how, yes, ideally you'll charge it overnight, but if you do need to charge it during the day and can find a charging station, the minimum charge time is 30 minutes. So at least you do need to get off the road and sit somewhere for 30 minutes, which is very different than a gas-powered car where we gas up in, four to five minutes and we're on the road.
Well, and I even wonder, that 30-minute charge, that's not going to be a full charge.
Half charge.
Yeah, I'm not going to get 200 miles out of that.
No.
So. The other thing is I'm wondering about, the cost, too. My electric bill is going to go through the roof.
Yes, they do say if you do drive, remember I said yesterday I'd save about $2,000 if I, went all electric next year with how much I drive in America. They said my electric bill on that amount of driving would be $500.
Whoa, that is actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah, okay. Now, we have been talking about cars, small cars, batteries, trying to make them improve their range. We're going in a whole different direction with this next paragraph talking about huge lithium-ion batteries.
Yeah, these are really big batteries. They can fill up 53-foot shipping containers. These are huge, huge batteries, but they're scalable. You can power entire cities with these things. A company called AES Storage has used them to store 64 megawatts of energy generated by windmills. And exactly what does 64 megawatts power? And this can power 50,000 U.S. households for an entire year.
All right. Well, that is pretty good. So now we're seeing how we can take this power that's generated by windmills and actually turn it into a significant chunk of energy then that can help reduce the pollution that goes out environment. So this is the promise of the batteries being tied in with windmills and solar power, not just powering a phone or a car, but actually making a huge difference in how power is generated and stored in big cities around the world. Let's have our final reading of this article.
Battery-powered houses. Batteries are also taking homes off the grid or providing backup energy. SolarCity, a California-based solar installer, is piloting a backup battery for some of its solar projects in California and may extend that option to other states. Minnesota-based Juul Energy's solar bank system pairs solar panels with batteries. Detroit-based Nextech Power Systems offers a portable off-grid option that combines a solar panel with a battery. There's no one battery technology that is one size fits all, says GE's Maroon. He says each has its own advantages and disadvantages, adding, the market is big enough for each technology to survive.
Okay, Bill Quinn here with Rebecca Krusniski and Josh Mooney. We are on our final section of Battle of the Batteries, and we've been learning about all sorts of batteries and from big and small, different materials and different uses, from devices to cars to powering neighborhoods and parts of cities. So, and in fact, we're going to learn a little bit more about battery-powered houses.
That's right. It says batteries are also taking homes off the grid. And the grid, I think we have talked about enough, the electrical system powering homes in America. If you're off the grid, that means you're not paying the electric company any longer to power your house. But batteries are also providing backup energy where needed. And here we meet a company called SolarCity.
Have you seen SolarCity?
I've heard of it. Yeah, they're definitely advertising quite a bit in California.
Okay. They are a California-based solar installer. And what are they doing, Rebecca?
They're piloting a backup battery project for some of its solar projects in California. And when you pilot something, it means it's usually a new product and you roll it out. But instead of rolling it out at one time, you might start with a small group of people. So that's piloting a project.
Okay. All right. So they're working in California, and they may extend that option to other states. And then we see another company.
And this company is called Joule Energy, and Joule Energy's solar bank system, it pairs solar panels with batteries. So in the past, for example, if you have solar panels on the roof of your home, you could only store the sun's energy right then. But now you will actually have batteries to store all the solar power you're getting from the solar panels.
All right. And next,
Detroit-based Nextech Power Systems. They offer a portable off-grid option that does something similar. It combines a solar panel with a battery. And there's a picture of solar panels there in the middle of page 40, right, Bill?
Mm. Yeah, we see a diagram there that shows a home, and it's got solar panels right on top of the roof. So that's one of the things. In your neighborhood, in Los Angeles, or actually Southern California, did you see many homes with solar panels on them?
No, it is not popular. I think there's a misunderstanding about how much do they really cost to install, because it looks expensive, and then how fast will I recoup that cost through energy savings?
It's a real obstacle for consumers to overcome that installation fee, no matter what it is that people have to buy. When you tell people, okay, you've got to spend X thousands of dollars to install something, it's really hard for them to move beyond that and say, oh, well, this is going to pay off in 5 years.
That's really true, especially for these big cost items, whether it's installing solar panels on your house or buying an electric car. A couple of years ago, I remember when the first energy-saving light bulbs came out, we would be debating, should we buy the energy-saving light bulbs? I mean, they're more expensive when you buy them, but they're supposed to last a lot longer. But nowadays, people just buy them easily. But in the beginning, and comparatively speaking, these light bulbs are quite cheap. We thought for a long time whether we should switch to energy-saving light bulbs.
Yeah, that's a really good example. That's a great example. It's a small-scale example that we can all relate to because, yeah, if you just buy a regular incandescent light bulb, it's really cheap in the store compared to maybe buying this LED thing. And you're like, well, how do I justify spending $5 on something I can spend 50 cents on? But you have to keep replacing that 50-cent light bulb, and you actually end up paying more in the long run. So same with putting solar panels on a house like we see there in this diagram that's called Green Living. This is an example from a company called KB Homes, Zero House. Looks like the other built-to-order homes that they have, but it incorporates many energy-efficient features that help meet the goal of using less energy than the house produces. So they've got solar panels, solar water heating panels there, And then they've got, what else on that house, Josh?
Well, it's got smog-eating roof tiles that interact with sunlight to oxidize smog particles, which then wash away when it rains.
It's almost
really
acting like a tree.
Yeah.
It is pulling the dirt out of the air.
So it's helping clean up the air. And there's also, what else is on that, Rebecca?
Well, it has some special windows called the low-E windows, and they reduce radiant heat flow from outside to the home's interior.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that would be just like wearing sunglasses that have a nice high UV rating. It's going to be keeping out a lot of that heat that comes through. It's amazing how much heat comes into your home, especially during the summertime, just through your windows. Your air conditioner can keep running all day just to compensate for all the heat that's coming through the windows.
That's right. Another place it comes through are the air conditioning ducts themselves. So in these homes, they are encapsulated to reduce heat gain from hot attic space.
What's encapsulate?
I imagine it's just insulated. It's got some sort of protectant that keeps out the heat.
Yeah, attics actually over the top of a home can actually accumulate a lot of heat, and then that radiates down into the house, forcing you to run your air conditioner more often all throughout the day. Well, that's an example of how batteries and solar power can be used in homes, and other technology can be used. We've been reading about batteries, but we finish with a quote from GE's Matthew Maroon, and he says,
"There's no one battery technology that is one size fits all."
Okay, one size fits all.
Well, that just means it's the one type of product that can work for everyone. Sometimes we talk about T-shirts fitting everyone, being one size fits all, and that's not the case for batteries. We're going to need lots of different types, styles, and shapes.
All right, and we finish with Matthew Maroon. He says each has its own advantages and disadvantages, adding,
"The market is big enough for each technology to survive." So we talked about a lot of different kinds of technologies in the past 3 days, and all of these technologies may come to a solution near you in the very near future.
Solution near you. I like that. Well, listeners, thanks for being here for all 3 days of this article. Congratulations.
Yay.
On finishing.
Good job.
Good job.
Good job.
It was not easy, I know. Come on back next time. Enjoy your Sunday. We'll see you on Monday. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Rebecca.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.